Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Good Morning Live. My name is James Epperly, and I am coming to you from the studios here at Pioneer Television Network. It is so good to spend a part of our morning together. Well, we have started a brand new journey of messages on Good Morning Live that I'm calling Help. And what we're looking at is just different aspects of the Christian faith that we need help with. So where we ended last week was talking about loving people, because you really, no matter what stage of life you are in or whatever you're doing, most of the time we are surrounded by people in some regard. And sometimes it's not easy to love people. So that's where we started, and we're going to jump into a different area on that today. But I just wanted to say thanks for those who watched yesterday my interview with Alexander Pagani. That was an unedited long version. I know that was a long live yesterday, but it's of a recent new episode that's going to be coming out next week. So on the show, we're breaking up into I think two different episodes, but I was so excited about that project and that interview that I wanted to get that out to you. So if you missed that, go back and watch it or wait for the edited episodes to come out next week. But I know that will bless your life for sure. And as always, I want to remind you that if you're watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, please do all of those things. We call it becoming a digital missionary. It helps us continue to take this program out to more and more people all around the world. And we're so, so grateful for that. As you know, sometimes here on Good Morning Live, we offer a book or a material or something. And recently we offered this book, Blessed Are the Spiraling by Levi Lusco. And I just want to tell you, this is a phenomenal book, totally blessed my life. We offered it to some of our viewers. Anyway, I got some extra copies here in the studio that I want to make available for you for free for whoever wants it. And I only have a few select copies. So the first three people to like, comment, and share this program today, we will get a copy of this book out to you. So if you want this, like, comment, and share on whatever platform you are watching on, and then we'll go through and select the first three to do so and get that book out to you or message you directly to get your information. So anyway, well, let's hop into the Word of God, because that's why we come here, is to open up the Word of God together. So as I said, we're going to continue our series called Help. And we've all been there, right? Because sometimes we just need a little bit of help. Today, I want to lean in to getting help when it comes to the book we call the Bible, the book we call the Bible. So if you got a Bible with you this morning, you can open it up to Psalms 19. That's where we're going to kind of hang out a little bit today, and looking at how we read the Bible. And sometimes, and this is very practical, but sometimes we need help reading the Bible. And if you do, you're not alone. Actually, of the over 2 billion Christians in the world, and I'm using that term broadly, right? But less than 30% of those 2 billion people who claim to be Christians will ever read through the entire Bible. Now, just pause there for a second, because we declare and we say that this book is the authentic, inspired, holy Word of God. It's a roadmap and a guide and a direction point for our lives. That it's the out of this book we base our lives of what we live and how we act and how we operate as Christians. So out of 2 billion Christians in the world, only less than 30% will ever read through the entire book. That's a staggering number. And listen to this, 82% of Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sundays. 82% only read their Bibles on Sundays while they are in church. Only 19% of churchgoers read their Bibles every single day. It's no wonder that we have a crisis, if you will, of theology in the church. And no wonder that it's so easy for many people to be led astray with false doctrines when only 19% of churchgoers read their Bibles every day. So that's why we got to be careful. You know, the Bible says as the end times approach, there will be many false prophets who will lead even the elect astray. How, and we say, well, how's that going to happen? Well, with only 19% of people who go to church are reading this book, every day. And then it's no wonder when doctrine comes in that you don't know the word of God enough to counteract and say, well, no, wait a minute. That doesn't seem quite right. Now, I want you to hear my heart on this because I'm not shaming anybody today. That's just where we are in our culture, right? It's just where we are. I want to have a little bit of fun with this. And I found online some top signs that you're not reading your Bible enough. Number one, the preacher says, turn to Galatians and you have to check the table of contents. Now, listen, no shame. We've all been there. I've done that too, right? Number two, you think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were a folk band from the 60s, right between Peter, Paul, and Mary. If that's where you are, then you might be reading your Bible enough, right? Or you open up to the Gospel of Luke and a 12-year-old church bulletin falls out. It might be a sign that you're not reading your Bible enough. And finally, you left your Bible in the church seats last Sunday and didn't realize it until leaving church this Sunday. You may not be reading your Bible enough. Now, all that to say, again, no condemnation. We've all been there. We often, you know, make a commitment to start reading the Bible. We start strong, but staying consistent can be a struggle. But here's part of the reason. Listen, we live in a visual culture right now, not an auditory culture like in ancient Hebrews, right? They listened, they learned by hearing. We get most of our information from videos and reels and shorts and flashy clips. So our reading levels have gone down. And actually, studies have shown the average reading level in America today is around sixth grade. The New King James Version of the Bible is around a seventh grade reading level. So for most people, the Bible feels a bit harder to understand. Now, you add on top of that the reading level factor. You add on top of that prophecy and some of the things that, you know, just are hard to wrap your mind around in Scripture. And no wonder it's hard for people to read the Bible. And that's why we're talking about this, because sometimes we just need help. And the worst thing we can do is, you know, we've all been here. So there's no shame in saying, listen, I'm struggling in reading the Bible. Or like you feel like you're some reason a less of a Christian, which is absolutely, completely not true. We all need help. So that's why today we're going to Psalms 19. Because in this chapter, we find the most consecrated, powerful teaching in the Bible about the Bible itself. Psalm 19 is like a condensed version of that great chapter. It's all about the power of God's word. So let's read this in Psalm 19, and we're going to begin in verse 7. And it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then verses 10 to 11 continue. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now, before we unpack these verses, I want you to notice something. Psalm 19 begins with creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's what we call general revelation, how God speaks through nature. But beginning in verse 7, it shifts to a special revelation, how God speaks through his word. No longer like nature, the general, he speaks through all creation. Now it's leaning in, it's specifying how he speaks through his word. The heavens declare his glory, but scripture, the Bible, reveals his heart. The sky can show you his power, right? We love that. Have you ever been driving and looked up and seen the sky and the majesty of a sunset or a sunrise and thought, wow, what an incredible God we serve. He's magnificent. He's powerful. If you ever consider the universe and its grandeur and the mystery of black holes, right? Like we can't even wrap our mind around that. Like science tries to say, well, it's just the absence of atmosphere. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. They don't say what a black hole is and where it goes. Nobody knows. And all of that just testifies to the grandeur of who our God is, that mystery of his magnitude. So the heavens declare his glory, but scripture, the Bible, these words on our pages, they reveal his heart. The sky can show us his power, but the Bible shows us his plan. So let's talk about what happens when you get this book on the inside of you. Well, Psalm 19 that we just read gives us 6 direct benefits from reading the Word of God. Number one, the Word will transform your life. Let's see that again in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That word perfect in Hebrews means complete or whole or comprehensive. It's saying God's word has it all converted, or excuse me, has it all covered. You go to the doctor for your body, to school for your mind, but you go to the Bible for your soul. Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we live? Not by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the word of God. Listen, that's why every church must keep the Bible at its center. If it's powerful enough to save, why would we preach anything else? No story, no illustration, no opinion can top a thus saith the Lord. Now listen, we use sermons and illustrations and can throw opinions in there, but it should always come back to the focal point of the Word of God. Number two, the Word will change your mind. We see this as we can continue in that verse from Psalms 19. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word sure means firm or trustworthy or reliable. In Hebrew, it's amen, which is where we get the word amen. It's sure, right? It means to be certain. So God's testimony will make wise the simple. Now, simple, listen, doesn't mean stupid. It means teachable or open-hearted. So here's a truth worth noting or writing down. People don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. They reject it because it contradicts them. Come on, can we say amen to that? Mark Twain once said, the parts of the Bible that bother me most aren't the ones I don't understand. It's the ones I do understand, right? Why? Because it'll challenge your mind. But that's a good thing. Why? Because growth always requires stretching. Like we come to the Word, why? Because we want to be changed and transformed and renewed, but then we read something off of its pages that brings offense. But listen, offense from the Word of God is a good thing. It means we're stretching, we're expanding what we know. You want to stay where you are, then learn nothing new. You want to go deeper in God, you want to have your mind change, your life change, your world change, then learn something you've never known before. Number three, I want to keep moving through these. The word will delight your hearts. It says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Listen, when you obey God's principles, joy will always follow. David also wrote in Psalms 1, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Jeremiah, the prophet, once said, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Sometimes the Bible convicts, before it comforts. Sometimes you read something that makes you say, ouch, right? That one's hard. Forgive your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, whatever that ouch is. But stay with it, because the pain of conviction is always, always followed by the joy of transformation. Praying for your enemies, forgiving those who persecute you, is an ouch. But when you stay with it, it will always be followed by joy of restored relationships, the joy of having a heart that is at peace, joy in your soul, knowing that there's nothing between you and another individual. Like the Bible says that we owe no man but to love them. Just ask those two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, that after Jesus opened the scriptures to them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road? And that's what happens when the word gets inside of you. It ignites something holy. Number four, the word will clarify your vision. The commandment of the Lord is pure, Psalms 19 says, enlightening the eyes, enlightening the eyes. God's word gives clarity in confusion. It helps you see in the dark. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, the Bible throws light on every area of life, politics, relationships, money, family, leadership. It won't tell you how to change the oil in your car, but it will teach you how to change the direction of your soul. Whatever sphere of life you need encouragement in, come on, the Bible answers it. And listen, and God's word doesn't need a revision. It doesn't need updates. Heaven never issued a second edition, right? It's pure and perfect as it is. Number five. The word will stabilize your future. Again, we read in Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Here, David uses fear of the Lord as a synonym for scripture because reading it produces, or it should produce for you, reverence. The fear of the Lord means reverencing and awe that leads to humble submission to a loving God. The prophet Isaiah would write in Isaiah 40 that the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God, the word of our God, stands forever. Jesus declared himself, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The truth that got you through yesterday will still be true tomorrow. Come on, when life shakes, scripture steadies. When the doctor calls, when the job falls through, when the storm hits, the word anchors you. I was talking with Cheryl Weaver, who I think is on today. This past Wednesday, I happened to see her journal opened as we were getting ready for service. She just had it open. And I looked at it, and man, I loved it right away because it was highlighted and it was pretty and it had all these, you know, scriptures and what she was journaling. And I loved it because when I go to journal the word, it just looks like a hot mess. Like nobody wants to see it. Like my handwriting's bad. And she just had this whole beautiful thing. And I just love that because, you know, when you see a Bible that's, and I, you know, this is my teaching Bible, but, you know, when you see a Bible that's penned through and highlighted and journaled and somebody who has a notebook accompanying it, you know that that's somebody, that they're in the word, that when the doctor calls, when that job falls through, when the storm hits, there's a foundation there. I love what Peter and John, when they were going to pray and the lame man, you know, who was sick, reached for alms and said, you know, they said, hey, will you give us money? Right? And Peter and John responded and said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I you. And then they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he did. He was asking for money, but I love that they said, what we have, give I you. What I have possession of, what I know, what's in my spirit, what's in my heart, give I you. For many Christians, they'd have to say, well, hold on, give me a minute. Let me go back. Let me find a healing tape or, you know, healing tape. But let me listen to a podcast real quick on divine healing. No, they said, what we have, what I know, what I've read, what I've studied, what I've obtained, what's in me, give I you. When the storm hits your life, that's the moment that what we have on the inside of us will be the foundation that will carry us through the storm. But come on, don't wait for the storm to hit. Yeah, when the storm hits, we can Google some scriptures and start speaking on them, and there's still power in that. But there's something about, come on, before it ever hits your door, your foundation is set. You're building on a solid rock. And finally, number six, the word will guard your steps. Psalm 19:9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The Bible warns us from danger. The Bible is a guardrail for the soul. A man by the name of John Bunyan said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. One or the other. David knew this. That's why he would write, your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against you. Why David would also write, more to be desired than gold. Because it doesn't just inform you, it transforms you. When you treasure the word of God, it becomes a part of you. It becomes the filter of your thoughts, your words, your decisions. So let's get just practical real quick. You might say, well, Pastor, I believe all of this. Like, you're preaching to the choir here, but I still struggle to read the Bible. Well, let me quick give you just a few helps here. Just some simple, powerful habits that can change how you approach the Word of God every day. Number one, pray. Before you read, pray. Ask the Lord, give me a desire for your word. Help me desire your word. Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. When you hit something confusing in the Bible, don't quit. Pray again. Say, Lord, help me understand what I'm reading. Again, often we just approach God with this wrong mindset that says, well, somehow God is this, you know, just far away trying to have me search him out. And yeah, we seek the Lord. I understand that, but come on, the spirit inside of us, Bible says, is our comforter, to our guide, to lead us in all truth. God wants to bring understanding to you. He wants to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He wants to lead your life in a positive direction. He wants things to go well for you. He wants to reveal the meaning of scripture to you. Yes. So when we approach reading the word of God and just saying, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me. He said, that's what the spirit of God is for, to help us understand, to bring understanding, to illuminate my eyes, to be reading a verse of scripture and have the Holy Spirit bring new revelation and new life and new understanding to something that I didn't see before. So number one, pray. Number two, just begin. You don't wait until you feel like reading the Bible any more than you wait to, you know, feel like doing laundry, right? Like, if we waited until we felt like doing laundry, it'd never get done, right? No, sometimes you just got to say, I got to do it. It just has to be done. So don't wait until you feel like reading the Bible. Just start. Listen, remember these three words: discipline, desire, delight. Discipline leads to desire. Desire leads to delight. Just start. Just don't wait till you feel it. Just start. Number three, have a plan. Now listen, you can find thousands of reading plans online. A one-year Bible, a topical Bible, a chronological Bible, doesn't really matter. You can open the Bible app on your phone, pick it up and find a year-long reading plan, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just pick one and start. Stick with it. Even Jesus, we talked about this this past Sunday when we were looking at David and how sloth came into his life and it really brought destruction to his life. And we would see that even Jesus had a rhythm to his life. He would rise early to meet in prayer with the Father. The scripture would say it was his custom to go to the temple. So have a plan, have a rhythm, start a rhythm in your life and stick to it. You're not I encourage you to do it in the morning before the chaos of life happens. But if you're not a morning person, then say, you know what? I'll leave the house 5 minutes early, 20 minutes early, whatever it is, and I'll sit in my car. That's what I have to do sometimes. It's before I go into the office, before I go into work, I'm gonna leave early enough that I can sit in my car for a few minutes, read the Bible, pray, and that's my time. Or it's my lunch break, or before I go to bed, whatever it is, just have a plan and stick to it. Make it a rhythm, make it a pattern. Number four, get a Bible you can read. Not just an app, but listen, a real physical Bible, one you can mark up. Like, I know when you get a new Bible, there's a little bit of that, oh no, I don't want to highlight anything. I don't want to, you know, no. Get one that you just know from the top, this is a highlighting Bible. This is a marking Bible. This is a circle Bible. This isn't, you know, the bookshelf Bible. Make it your own. Try different translations. Read a familiar passage in each one until it kind of connects with you. For me, I've been loving the ESV, and I think that's what I have. This one's the Modern English Version that I'm using right here, but I love the Modern English Version. I love the ESV version. Sometimes I get myself in trouble because when I, you know, really started leaning in, reading the Bible, it was the New King James Version. So sometimes when I go to quote scripture, I'm still quoting it how I memorized it in the New King James, but I'm referencing it, you know, in a sermon or something out of the ESV, and I get it all tongue-tied in there. It doesn't matter, but pick one that relates to you, speaks to you. If you've never tried, try the NIV, the ESV, so many different versions, but find one that connects with you. And listen, if you're getting older, get a large print edition. Amen. Come on. It doesn't matter. The goal is to get the word in you, right? So however big you got to make that puppy, just get it. Just do it. Number five, you can try reading it with someone else. Listen, you grow faster when you study in community. That's why we got Wednesday night services. That's why we got groups here as a church. Listen, when you hear how other people apply it or how they misapply it, you learn together. When you hear somebody come in and say, yeah, I was facing this situation and then I read this scripture and here's how it worked in my natural everyday world, it helps you understand how to take the word of God from a page and apply it to your everyday life. And listen, if reading is difficult for you, there are wonderful, wonderful audiobooks and audio Bibles, I should say, that will read it to you. That's actually how believers learned for centuries, by simply listening to scripture. Right? So go ahead and do that. But listen, what if we treated our Bible the way we treat our phone? What if it was the first thing we checked in the morning and the last thing we looked at night? What if you're like me, and I've done it, I've left home and I've forgotten my phone. What if we panicked and that panic comes in, right? And it's like, I'm already almost at work. I got to turn around and get my phone, right? What if we panicked when we left home without it? What if we opened it throughout the day just to see what God texted us? Come on, that'll preach. Like, come on, we've all been in a work environment or a meeting where, you know, the boss comes in or somebody comes in and you quit putting your phone down. What if it was like, oh, no, let me just hide that book real quick, right? Like, I just got to get some word in me. You might say, well, that just seems too much. Listen, if this is life, the book says that it's life to our bodies, health to our members. It's a light to our feet, hidden in our heart. It will keep us from sin. All of the issues of life are in this book. The answers are here. You're struggling in any area of your life. The answer's in these pages. How much more we should love the word of God. Should we hold it to our heart? Should we use it as a shield? Should we use it as water renewing our mind? Medicine to our soul. Let me pray for you today. Father, we thank you for your word. May it be to us, as Jeremiah said, the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Help us to love it, to live it, and to share it. Help us to grow a rhythm and a pattern. Let it be life to us. Let us just start. If we've struggled and we've needed help, just start in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, I hope that this is encouraging. This whole series that we're doing right now is help. Help love our neighbors. Help read the Bible. Just areas that I've seen in the Christian life that sometimes we need help with. We just don't want to ask, which is a shame, right? Because we're all in this thing together. We're all on a journey of discovering more about God. And if more people were honest, they would say, I struggle to read the Bible. I struggle to open it. Listen, I'm not a reader by nature. I'm not one of those people that's like, reading for me is life. Worship for me. I'm a worship. I've often heard that you know, there are people who are prayers, are readers, or worshipers. Kind of in your walk with God, you're going to have one of them be your strength, prayer, reading, or worship. But here's the thing. You have to have all three in your life. You can't, if you're just a person who only reads but never prays or never worships, you're limited. If you're just a worshiper but never pray or read, you're limited, right? So you have to have all three active in your life. So if you've struggled to read the Bible, help is here. Follow some of these things we've talked about today. But at the end of the day, get a translation that you can read, open it, start a rhythm, start a pattern, make it a habit, and just read. And even when you don't understand it, just keep reading. I want to remind you, if you want a copy of this book, we want to put one in your hands absolutely for free. I think we got 3 copies of this left. So if you like, comment, and share this program on whatever platform you're on, we will go ahead and select 3 of you, message you to get your details, and then send this book. It's Blessed Are the Spiraling by Levi Lusco, an amazing book. But we had some extra copies left over here from our last book offer, and we just want to get it out to you and bless you all. Just make it a free resource into your life. So thank you so much for joining me today on Good Morning Live. It's a pleasure and an honor as always. Now remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.